بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. We have in our company today, by the grace of Allah Azza wa Jal, Shaykh Abdullah bin Salfiq al-Dhufayri, Habib of Allah Ta'ala, from the area of Haqr al-Batin. And as I mentioned, the Shaykh is, he's well known by many of the Mashaykh. And we came across some of his works on the internet. He was known by Shaykh Ahmed Najmi Haqq, rahimahullah ta'ala. And he also has many books, and some of them have the introduction by Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, and others have the introduction by Shaykh Rabi' bin Hadi al-Madkhali, habibahumullah ta'ala. So with that, today we will try to benefit from the Shaykh, and we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to place this on his scales of good deeds. And the Shaykh is going to discuss the importance of clinging to the ulama, especially during the times of fitan. Faliyatfadl Shaykhuna Mashkur al-Majur.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له واشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد ان نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن الا وانتم مسلمون يا ايها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحده وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد إخواني السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته وبعد فبادئا نشكر الله سبحانه وتعالى أن جمعنا في هذه الليلة مع إخوة لنا في الله جمعنا وإياهم الإسلام والتوحيد واتباع الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم وهذا هو مبدأ الاجتماع الصحيح إنما المؤمنون إخوة فالإسلام يجمع بين من يقول لا إله إلا الله ويتبع الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن منزلة العبد عند الله بمقدار تقواه ومقدار اتباعه للرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم وبمقدار تمسكه بالإسلام والتوحيد إن أكرمكم عند الله أتقاكم وهذا الذي جمع المسلمون الأولون حيث جمعهم الله على هدي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وآمنوا بالإسلام واعتقدوه دينا خالصا خاتما للرسالات وأنه هو الدين الذي يريده الله من العالمين وهو الذي ختم الله به جميع الرسالات السماوية إن الدين عند الله الإسلام وهذا هو الجمع الصحيح أن يكون على الإيمان الصحيح وأن يكون على التوحيد الخالص وأن يكون على الإيمان بالرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم، حيث بين الله عز وجل ذلك فقال: واعتصموا بحبل الله جميعا ولا تفرقوا. فالاعتصام الصحيح يكون بكتاب الله وبسنة رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم، وليس الاجتماع الصحيح على القوميات والعصبيات والشعوبيات، وإنما الاعتصام والاجتماع الصحيح هو الذي يكون على الإسلام الذي أتى به محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وبعث به إلى العرب والعجم الأبيض والأسود. وهذا الذي يرتضيه رب العالمين منا، كما جاء في الصحيحين من حديث أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: إن الله يرضى لكم ثلاثا: أن تعبدوه ولا تشركوا به شيئا، وأن تعتصموا بحبل الله جميعا ولا تفرقوا، وأن تناصحوا من ولاه الله أمركم. فالائتلاف الصحيح والاجتماع الصحيح على الإيمان، وهذا هو أوثق عرى الإيمان، كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: أوثق عرى الإيمان الحب في الله والبغض في الله. وكلما زاد المسلم تمسكا وفهما وعلما عرف حقيقة الاجتماع وأصبحت محبته ومؤاخاته وصارت مؤاخاته لله وفي الله وبالله. فأسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يزيدنا وإياكم من فضله، وأن يجعلنا ممن يحب في الله ويبغض في الله، وممن يجتمع تحت راية التوحيد والسنة والإسلام، وأن يزيدنا من الإيمان ومن اتباع الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم.
The Shaykh Habib Allah Ta'ala began by mentioning the khutbah al-Hajjah, seeking refuge in Allah Azza wa Jalla from the evil of ourselves and from the evil of our actions. Whomsoever Allah Azza wa Jalla guides, there is none who can lead him astray. And whomsoever Allah Azza wa Jalla leads astray, there is no guide for him. I bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah. He is alone and he has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and messenger. And then he went on to mention the three ayats pertaining to taqwa that are well known from Khutbat al-Hajjah. Then he gave the salams and he said, we start by thanking Allah Azza wa Jalla, the one who has gathered us this night, and we are gathered based on our brotherhood. Indeed, Allah Azza wa Jalla has gathered us upon Islam, and He has gathered us upon Tawheed, and He has gathered us upon adherence to the Sunnah of our beloved Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the correct form of our gathering, and this is the correct form of our unity. As Allah says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ. Verily the believers are brothers. So Islam is that which has gathered us. Islam has gathered us because we say, لا إله إلا الله. There is no deity worthy of worship except Allah. And we adhere to the Sunnah of our beloved Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Verily the status of an individual with Allah is based on his taqwa, is based on his Islam, is based on his adherence to the Sunnah, is based on him holding fast to the Sunnah of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Allah ta'ala said, innama akramukum inda Allahi atqakum. Verily the most high in stature with Allah is those who have taqwa. So this is that which combines the Muslims, and this is that which combined the first generation. They were upon the guidance of the beloved Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They believed in him, and they took this religion, and they were sincere in doing so. And they believed that it was the final message. It was the final message that Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed. As Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned in the Quran, in the deen and Allah in Islam. Verily the religion of Allah is Islam. So this is the correct iman. The iman which is based on tawheed. The iman which is based on belief in the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is that which Allah Azza wa Jalla has ordered the believers to hold fast to. As Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says, وَعَتَسِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Hold fast to the book of Allah, or hold fast to the rope of Allah, and do not be divided. So that which we hold on to is the book of Allah and the Sunnah of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We do not hold on to nationalism. We do not hold on to this type of racism and the likes. We do not hold on to these type of things. But that which we hold on to is the book of our Lord and the Sunnah of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent to all of mankind. He was sent to the white, he was sent to the black. There was no status of the Arab over the Ajam, the non-Arab, except with taqwa. As was mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith, which is recorded in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, verily Allah loves three things for you and he dislikes three things for you. Allah ta'ala loves that you worship him and you do not commit partners with him. Allah loves that you hold on to the rope of Allah and you do not be divided. And Allah ta'ala loves that you advise the one who Allah has placed as rulers above you. So this is that which we are united upon. And this is the strongest hold of Iman. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, the strongest hold of Iman is that you love for the sake of Allah and that you hate for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So if an individual increases in his adherence to the Sunnah and his love of the Sunnah and following the Sunnah, this individual would understand the true brotherhood. He would understand the true brotherhood. So we ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to increase us in his merits, and we ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to increase us in our love for the sake of Allah and our hate for the sake of Allah. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to unite us under the flag of Tawheed and adherence to the Sunnah.
الموضوع الذي سنتكلم عليه أيها الإخوة موضوع مهم ونأتي له باختصار مع ذكر شيء من الأدلة التي تبين لنا عظم هذا الجانب. الله سبحانه وتعالى أنزل الإسلام على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، أنزل القرآن والوحي، ولا يعتصم المرء من الفتن ولا نجاة له من الفتن إلا بالتمسك بالقرآن. وشياطين الإنس والجن يوحي بعضهم إلى بعض زخرف القول غرورا ليفتنوا العباد ليضلوا العباد. ولا نجاة للمسلم من الفتن والزيغ بجميع أنواع الفتن إلا بالتمسك بالعلم. فالعلم هو المنجي للإنسان من الفتن، وهو سبيل الهدى والتقى. ولهذا أمر الله في القرآن في سورة الفاتحة أن يتعوذ العبد من طريقين خطيرين على دين الإنسان واستقامة منهجه، وهما طريق الضلال والجهل وطريق الهوى والبعد عن العلم. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. فالمغضوب عليهم هم الذين يتبعون الهوى ويتركون العلم، وهم اليهود ومن شابههم من أتباع البدع والأهواء. والضالون هم أهل الجهل الذين يتعبدون الله بجهل. دون علم. ورب العالمين حذر من اتباع أهل الأهواء والزيغ، وأنه لا نجاة للعبد من فتن أهل الأهواء إلا باتباع الراسخين من أهل العلم. والمراد بالراسخين بالعلم هم أهل العلم بالكتاب والسنة وأهل الاعتقاد الصحيح أتباع السلف. هو الذي أنزل عليك الكتاب منه آيات محكمات هن أم الكتاب وأخر متشابهات، فأما الذين في قلوبهم زيغ فيتبعون ما تشابه منه ابتغاء الفتنة وابتغاء تأويله، وما يعلم تأويله إلا الله. والراسخون بالعلم يقولون آمنا به كل من عند ربنا وما يذكر إلا أولو الألباب. يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: يا عائشة، إذا سمعتم الذين سمى الله فاحذروهم. فحذر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ممن يتبع الهوى ويضل الناس عن السنة، ومدح الراسخين في العلم وأمر باتباعهم، فاتباعهم هو سبيل النجاة. وقد رسم الله هذا الخط العظيم المستقيم، فقال عز وجل: فإما يأتينكم مني هدى، والهدى هو العلم الوحي، فإما يأتينكم مني هدى فمن اتبع هداي أي اتبع الوحي فلا يضل ولا يشقى. قال ابن عباس ترجمان القرآن: تكفل الله لمن تمسك بالقرآن والسنة أن لا يضل في الدنيا ولا يشقى في الآخرة. ومن أعرض عن ذكري أي عن القرآن والسنة والعلم فإن له معيشة ضنكا ونحشره يوم القيامة أعمى. قال: رب لم حشرتني أعمى وقد كنت بصيرا؟ قال: كذلك أتتك آياتنا فنسيتها وكذلك اليوم تنسى. ففي هذه النصوص يتبين لنا سبيل النجاة من الفتن، وهو التمسك بالوحي. ولا يعرف سبيل الوحي إلا ورثة الأنبياء، إلا الأنبياء الذين أنزل عليهم الوحي، وخاتمهم محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وورثة الأنبياء الذين يرثون الأنبياء. ووراثة الأنبياء هو العلم والتقوى والاتباع. فاتباع العلماء سبيل النجاة، والمراد بالعلماء علماء الشريعة، علماء الكتاب والسنة، علماء ما تركه الأنبياء. ولهذا أمر الله بذلك في كتابه فقال: فاسألوا أهل الذكر إن كنتم لا تعلمون. وسيأتي لنا بعض الآيات والأحاديث والآثار الحاث على اتباع سبيل العلماء.
Then the Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala went on to mention that the subject that we want to speak about is a very important subject, and I will summarize it. And I will mention some of the proofs that would make it apparent to us the importance of this subject. Allah Azza wa Jalla sent Islam to His Prophet Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam by way of the Quran and by way of revelation. And there is nothing that would save an individual during the times of trials and tribulations except by adhering and holding fast to the Quran. And then the shayateen from amongst the insan and jinn they mention to the people that which they mention to deviate, to perform or to allow these individuals to deviate and to go astray from the path of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So this informs us that there is no safety except that an individual holds to the book and he holds to the knowledge. Knowledge is that which saves an individual from the trials and the tribulations. This is the way of taqwa and this is the way of guidance. And because of that, Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned in Surah Al-Fatiha that the individual must seek refuge in Allah Azza wa Jalla from two paths. The first path is the path of deviation and ignorance, and the second path is the path of lack. Now, so the first path is the path of deviation from knowledge, and the second path is the path of ignorance and not having knowledge. And this is at the end of Surah Al-Fatiha, where Allah Ta'ala mentioned غَيْرَ الْمَغْدُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ, not the path of those who have incurred your anger, nor the path of those who have gone astray. Those who have incurred the anger of Allah Azza wa Jalla are those who had knowledge, but they lacked and they abandoned the knowledge. The Yahud and those who are similar to them. And the path of the Dhaleen, those who have gone astray, are the Nasara and those who are similar to them. So in these verses, Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned the two forms of deviation that the people have fallen to. One is that they have abandoned the knowledge, and the other is that they are ignorant of the knowledge. So Allah Azza wa Jalla has warned the believer for following the path of the people of desires and the people of deviation. And Allah Ta'ala has ordered us that if we want salvation, we have to follow the path of those who are firm in knowledge. Those who are firm in knowledge of the book and knowledge of the sunnah of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and those who have the correct belief. Those who have the correct belief. Allah Ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, He is the one who has sent down the clear verses. Minhu ayatun muhkamat hunna ummul kitab. These are the verses which are clear. These are the mother of the book. And then Allah Ta'ala mentioned other verses which are unclear. And then He mentioned those who have a disease in their hearts, they follow the unclear verses because they want deviation. They want fitna. They want trials and tribulations. But as for the rasikhun fil ilm, those who are firm in knowledge, those who are the scholars, they say, we believe in it. All of it is from Allah Azza wa Jalla. All of it is from Allah. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned to Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, if you see these people that Allah has mentioned in the Quran, then be aware of these individuals. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is ordering, and Afwan, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is warning his ummah from following the path of the people of desires, because they will guide you astray. And Allah Azza wa Jalla prays the people who are firm in knowledge. Well, Allah says, وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ, the people who are firm in knowledge. They say all of it is from Allah. So in this verse, Allah is praising the people of knowledge. And they are the individuals that believe in that which has been revealed by Allah, and they follow the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then likewise, in another verse, Allah has sent down the guidance. So whoever follows the guidance of Allah, he will not go astray. He will not go astray. And the Shaykh said, the guidance is the knowledge and the revelation. Ibn Abbas, radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he said pertaining to this verse, whoever follows the guidance of Allah, he will not go astray. Ibn Abbas said, Allah has guaranteed the one who adheres to the Qur'an, he will not go astray in this life nor in the next. And then in the next part of the verse, وَمَنْ أَعْرَدْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً دَمْكَ, and whoever abandons my reminder, he will live a difficult life. And we will raise him on the day of judgment and he will be blind. To the end of the verse. So the Shaykh said, حَبِيبَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى, so these proofs inform that there is no way of salvation except by adhering to the revelation. Except by adhering to the revelation. Then he said, Habib Allah Ta'ala, how do we know the revelation? How do we know the knowledge? We know it by way of the prophets and the messengers. And the best of them being the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is the Khatam al-Nabiyyin. He is the seal of the prophets and the messengers.
And then we know it by those who took from the prophets and the messengers. And they are the scholars, the people of knowledge, the people of taqwa, the people of adherence. This is the way of salvation. And that which is meant, like the Shaykh said, Habibullah Ta'ala, is the scholars that are aware of the book and are aware of the sunnah. Those who hold on to the inheritance of the prophets and the messengers. And then the Shaykh said, Habibullah Ta'ala, we're going to mention some verses and some prophetic narrations and some traditions from the Salaf that informs us of this very affair. The affair of the importance of adhering to the way of, or holding fast to the way of the scholars. And to the scholars, Habibullah Ta'ala.
فلأجل هذه المنزلة العظيمة عند الله سبحانه وتعالى فقد عظم الله عز وجل منزلة العلماء فجعلهم الله تعالى بعد النبيين في المرتبة ورفع الله درجاتهم وحث على الارتباط بهم وجعل موالاتهم قربة إلى الله وجعل طاعتهم من الواجبات وجعل موالاتهم من الإيمان فقال الله سبحانه وتعالى ومن يطع الرسول فأولئك مع الذين أنعم الله عليهم ثم ذكر هؤلاء المنعم عليهم أهل السعادة وهم أربعة منازل من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين وحسن أولئك رفيقا وليس ثم مرتبة خامسة فالنبيون أعظم الناس سعادة وأعلاهم مرتبة وأعلاهم منزلة عند الله سبحانه وتعالى ثم يأتي الصديقون وهم أهل الصدق والإيمان وهم أهل العلم والإيمان كما قال الله سبحانه وتعالى وجعلنا منهم أئمة يهدون بأمرنا لما صبروا وكانوا بآياتنا يوقنون فأهل اليقين وأهل الصدق الناتج عن العلم الصحيح هم بعد النبيين في المرتبة ثم الشهداء الذين جاهدوا في سبيل الله ابتغاء وجه الله بعد العلماء والنبيين ثم يأتي الصالحين والمراد بالصالحين المتبعين للسنة لأن الصلاح يكون أو لا يتحقق إلا بشرطين حتى يكتب المرء صالحا وعمله صالحا أن يكون مخلصا لله وأن يكون عمله صالحا وهو من كان عمله موافقا للسنة متبعا للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فهؤلاء هم أهل السعادة ولذلك أعظم الناس منزلة من كان بينه وبين خلقه وهم الأنبياء والعلماء فالأنبياء والعلماء هم الذين يكونون بين الله وبين الخلق ومن دلائل عظم منزلتهم عند الله مما يفهم منه وجوب الارتباط بهم لينجو المرء على نفسه من الانحراف وليكون دينه مستقيماً على الفطرة والسنة وليتجنب سبيل الضلال والهوى والردى الارتباط بهؤلاء العلماء الرباني. قل هل يستوي الذين يعلمون والذين لا يعلمون؟ لا يستوي. وقال تعالى يرفع الله الذين آمنوا منكم والذين أوتوا العلم درجات. وأمر الله بطاعته فقال يا أيها الذين آمنوا أطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول وأولي الأمر منكم، وهم العلماء، لأنهم هم المأمن بعد الله وبعد كتابه وسنة رسوله من الكتاب. وما ارتبط أحد بالعلماء الربانيين أهل السنة إلا نجا من الفتن وتجنب طريق الرداء. ولهذا يقول الله سبحانه وتعالى مخبرا وآمرا وإذا جاءهم أمر من الأمن أو الخوف أداعوا به ولو ردوه إلى الرسول وإلى أولي الأمر منهم لعلمه الذين يستنبطونه منه. وأولو الأمر هنا العلماء. فالله عز وجل أمر العباد أن يعيدوا الأمور إلى العلماء، فهم الذين يفهمون مراد الله ويفهمون مراد رسول الله، وهم الذين يقدرون المصالح ويدرؤون الفتن والمفاسد. فهذه النصوص تدل على عظم منزلة العلماء وأن شأنهم عند الله عظيم. ويقول الله عز وجل آمرا وجوب موالاة أهل العلم، إنما وليكم الله ورسوله والذين آمنوا ومن يتولى الله ورسوله والذين آمنوا فإن حزب الله هم الغالبون. فهنا أداة حصر إنما، أي إنما الموالاة الحقيقية الموالاة الصحيحة للمسلم هي لله ورسوله والذين آمنوا وهم العلماء. ورتب الله على من جعل موالاته للعلماء الربانيين أهل السنة الغلبة والفوز والنجاح. ولهذا جعل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أوثق عرى الإيمان وأدل دلائل الصدق والاتباع وحسن الإسلام أن يجعل العبد موالاته وحبه لأهل العلم الراسخين أهل السنة أوثق عرى الإيمان الحب في الله والبغض في الله، كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. ولهذا جاء في الحديث مما يوضح أيضا أن لذلك أثرا وفضلا عظيما في الجنة، أن رجلا جاء إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال متى الساعة؟ فقال له النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ماذا أعددت لها؟ قال لم أعد لها شيئا أو من كبير عمل إلا أن يحب الله ورسوله. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم المرء مع من أحب. قال أنس فما فرحنا بمثل فرحنا بهذا القول. قال ونحن نرجو أن يجعلنا الله في الجنة مع أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان بحبنا إياه. فدل هذا الأمر على أن موالاة أهل العلم أهل السنة ومحبتهم توصل العبد في الجنة إلى درجات عظيمة وإلى أن يحشر مع هؤلاء وإن لم يبلغ درجتهم في العلم والعمل.
Then the Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala went on to mention that because of the high status of the scholars with Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah Azza wa Jal, and that which informs of the high status of the scholars with Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah Azza wa Jal has placed these individuals right after the prophets and the messengers. Individuals, Allah Azza wa Jal has raised them in levels. Allah Azza wa Jal has encouraged us to follow them. Allah Azza wa Jal has informed us about befriending them. And this was mentioned by our Lord Baraka Ta'ala. And the Shaykh mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala. This is mentioned in the statement where Allah Ta'ala said, وَمَنْ يُتِعِ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولَهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ. The verse where Allah Ta'ala mentioned that whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ. Now, so whoever obeys Allah Azza wa Jalla and His Messenger, then they will be with those who Allah Azza wa Jalla has favored. من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين. They will be with those who Allah has favored from amongst the prophets and those who are sincere and those who are righteous. So the Shaykh Habib Allah Ta'ala mentioned that Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned four individuals. If you obey Allah and His Messenger, then you will be. Then Allah mentioned the status of four individuals. The first of those individuals being the prophets and the messengers. And the second of those individuals being the individuals who are honest. And the third being the martyrs. And the fourth being those who are righteous. The Shaykh mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala. The first of these individuals that have the highest of degrees with Allah are the prophets and the messengers. These are the individuals that have the highest of degrees with Allah. And then right after the prophets and the messengers, Allah mentions wasiddiqeen, those who are honest, those who have strong iman. And there's no doubt that these are the people of knowledge. The individuals that have knowledge, the people, individuals who have strong iman, they are the scholars. And Allah Ta'ala, another thing that shows you this, where Allah Ta'ala mentioned, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَحْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا لَمَّا صَبُرُوا وَكَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يُقِنُونَ. Well, Allah Ta'ala said, and we made from amongst them leaders. And we made from amongst them leaders who are guided with our guidance. لَمَّا صَبَرُوا. When they are patient and they had certainty about our verses. The Shaykh said, who are the individuals who have certainty about the verses of Allah? This certainty comes from knowledge. So that informs you they are the people of knowledge. And then the shuhada, those who fought in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal, they are directly after the scholars. And then the salihin, those who are righteous. And how does an individual become from amongst the righteous? There are two things, two conditions that must be present in order for an individual to be considered from the righteous. The first of them being that the individual has to do his actions sincerely for Allah Azza wa Jal. And the second condition is that the individual has to act in accordance with the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So these are the individuals that would have happiness. These are the individuals that have a high stature with Allah Azza wa Jal, the prophets and the messengers, the scholars,
the martyrs, and then the righteous. Then the Shaykh mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala. Another thing that shows you the great status of the scholars is the fact that they are the individuals that are between Allah and His creation. The first individuals that are between Allah and His creation are the prophets and the messengers. The prophets and the messengers inform the creation about the orders of Allah, about that which Allah has forbidden and the likes. And after the prophets and the messengers, it is the scholars. They are the individuals that inform the people about that which is from Allah Azza wa Jal. So this shows you of the obligation of following and holding steadfast to the scholars. And there's no doubt that if an individual wants to protect himself from any hiraf, he wants to protect himself from deviation in a religion, he has to hold fast to the guidance that has come by way of these individuals. Allah Ta'ala informs of that when He says, هَلْ يَسْتَوَى الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Do the people who know, are they on the same level as the people who do not know? This shows you of the great status of the scholars. Also the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla, يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتِ. Allah raises those who believe from amongst you, and Allah raises the people of knowledge, Allah raises them in levels. And likewise the statement of Allah, Allah Ta'ala ordered that He is obeyed and that His Messenger is obeyed and those in authority from amongst you. The Shaykh said, Habib Allah Ta'ala, those in authority from amongst you are the scholars. And then he mentioned, so whoever holds on and clings to the advice and the knowledge of the scholars, this individual will be saved. This individual will be saved from all forms of tribulations and turmoil. And this is the correct path. Allah Azza wa Jalla informs and He ordered in the Quran. Now, well, Allah Ta'ala mentions this affair and how the people would be saved if they adhere and hold on to the knowledge of the scholars. Well, Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِذَا جَاءَهُمْ أَمْرٌ مِنَ الْأَمْنِ أَوْ الْخَوْفِ أَذَاعُوا بِهِ. If an affair comes to them of fear or safety, they immediately go to spread it. They immediately go to spread it. But if they were to return it to the Prophet ﷺ and to the people of knowledge from amongst them, they would know. They would know the affair. So in this verse, Allah is ordering the people, if they want salvation, that they have to return to the Book of Allah and to the Sunnah of the Messenger ﷺ and to the ulama. They have to return to the ulama. And because of that, Allah says, ask the people of knowledge if you do not know. Why does Allah say that? Because they are the ones that understand what is intended by Allah. They are the ones that understand what is intended by the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They are the ones who understand what is the good and what is the evil. So because of that, it is upon you to stick to the scholar. Indeed, their affair with Allah is tremendous. Indeed, their affair with Allah is tremendous. Allah says, إِنَّمَا وَلِيُّكُمُ اللَّهُ وَالرَّسُولُهُ وَالَّذِينَ آمِنُوا. Verily, your protector is Allah and His Messenger and those who believe. So in this verse, Allah is informed, and then Allah goes on to mention, whoever Allah protects and His messengers befriends, then these individuals will be saved, and verily the group of Allah, they will be victorious. So in this verse, Allah is informing you that you have to befriend the scholars. You have to love the scholars. It is an obligation upon you. It is an obligation upon the people who believed. And then the Shaykh mentioned, Habib Allah Ta'ala, that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made this the strongest hold of Iman. The strongest hold of Iman, that which informs an individual that he has true Iman and true adherence to the way of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he's upon good Islam. And that was in the statement of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whoever loves for Allah and hates for Allah to the end of the hadith. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is informing you of the importance of loving for Allah and hating for Allah. But then one of the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he heard this hadith, he said, we have never rejoiced like we rejoiced when we heard the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for verily we love Allah and His Messenger. And because of our love of Allah and His Messenger, we pray that Allah places us in Jannah with the Prophet ﷺ and the Mas'afun. because of our love for Abu Bakr and Umar, and the companion said, because of our love for Abu Bakr and Umar, we pray that Allah places us in Jannah with His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that shows you the obligation of loving the people of knowledge. The obligation of loving the people of knowledge. So the Shaykh mentioned, Habibullah ta'ala, that indeed your love of the scholars is something that can raise you in high stature in the paradise of Allah Azza wa Jalla.
وَلِأَجْلِ خَطُورَةِ الْبُعْدِ عَنِ الْعُلَمَاءِ وَظُهُورَ الْفِتَنِ إِذَا خَلَتْ السَّاحَةُ عَنِ الْعُلَمَاءِ الرَّبَّانِيِّينَ وَارْتَبَطَ النَّاسُ بِدُعَاةٍ بعيدين عن العلم وليسوا من أهل العلم ولا من العلماء فإن في ذلك يترتب عليه الشرور الكثيرة وهلاك الدين والدنيا وظهور البدع والأهواء وما حصلت الفتن وانحراف العقائد إلا بسبب ظهور المبتدعة وحدثاء الأسنان وأصحاب الأفكار المنحرفة والذين لا يتربون على أيدي العلماء الربانيين ولهذا جاء التحذير الشديد من الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم على ترك العلماء فقد جاء في صحيح البخاري من حديث عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إن الله لا ينتزع العلم انتزاعا من صدور الرجال ولكن ينتزعه في قبض العلماء حتى إذا لم يبق عالما اتخذ الناس رؤوسا جهالا فسئلوا فأفتوا بغير علم فضلوا وأضلوا انظر إلى هذا الإخبار من الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم مما يتضمن خطورة ترك العلماء وخطورة خلو الساحة من العلماء إن الله لا ينتزع العلم انتزاعا من صدور الرجال ولكن ينتزعه بقبض العلماء فإذا لم يبق عالما وفي رواية فإذا لم يبق عالم وخلت الساحة من العلماء لم يجد عند الناس بد إلا الارتباط بأهل الأهواء وأهل الفتن فإذا لم يبق عالما اتخذ الناس رؤوسا جهالا أي أهل زيغ وأهل فتنة رؤوس فتن دعاة فتن فإذا لم يبق عالما اتخذ الناس رؤوسا جهالا انظر سماهم رؤوس أي رؤوس فتنة وجهال ليسوا بعلماء فسئلوا أي سألهم الناس فسئلوا فأفتوا بغير علم أي تكلموا بغير علم تكلموا بالرأي تكلموا بالفتن تكلموا بالسياسة تركوا التوحيد تركوا القرآن تركوا السنة تركوا العقيدة فسئلوا فأفتوا بغير علم فضلوا وأضلوا فدعاة الفتن والبعيدون عن العلماء ينتج عنهم الضلال على أنفسهم وإضلال غيرهم فسئلوا فأفتوا بغير علم فضلوا وأضلوا فالذي يترتب على العلماء الهدى والتقى والاستقامة والسعادة الدنيوية والأخروية وحفظ الدين والدنيا ودعاة الفتن يترتب على دعواهم الضلال والإضلال وفساد الدين والدنيا. فهذا الموضوع موضوع مهم، أنه ينبغي للمسلم وطالب العلم أن يعرف سبيله. ولهذا السلف يقولون إذا رأيت الشاب أول تنسكه على أيدي أهل السنة وفي نص على أيدي العلماء فارجه، يعني كن منه على رجاء، وإذا رأيته يتنسك على أيدي أهل البدع فيأسلم. فينبغي لطالب العلم أن يلتف حول العلماء الربانيين، وأن يأخذ العلم من العلماء، وأن يعرف السبيل الذي يوصله لسعادة الدنيا والآخرة، وهو سبيل العلم وسبيل العلماء. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى بمنه وتوفيقه أن يوفقني وإياكم إلى العلم النافع والعمل الصالح، وأن يثبتنا وإياكم على السنة، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا.
Then the Sheikh Habib Allah Ta'ala went on to mention, and because of the danger and abstaining from the ulama, and that which brings about trials and calamities, is if you no longer have scholars, and if the people no longer take from them, but rather you have callers who call for fitan, and they are far from the scholars and they are far from knowledge. When this takes place, you have much evil, or evil becomes widespread. And this will be the destruction of the religion, and this will be destruction of the world, the worldly affairs. And because of this, bid'ah will become more apparent. Bid'ah and innovation will become more apparent and widespread. And callers to bid'ah would likewise become more apparent and widespread. And young individuals who are calling to deviant ideologies will become apparent. Those individuals that do not have knowledge, nor did they take from the scholars. And because of that, you have a strong warning against abandoning the scholars. That's it, which is coming from Sahih Bukhari and the authority of Abdullah bin Amr bin As radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where he said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that Allah would not take away the knowledge by removing it from the chest of the people, but Allah would take away the knowledge by the passing away of the scholars. Until no scholars remain, the people will take the ignorance as their leaders. They will seek verdicts from them. They will be, they've got astray, and they will be led, and they will lead others astray. The Shaykh said, look at this statement of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and how he's informing that when you stick to the scholars, what is the result? And when you don't stick to the scholars, what is the result? Allah, he said, so when the scholars remain, you have guidance, you have understanding to the end of the benefits. But if the scholars are no longer present, what do you have? You have ignorance, you have deviation, you have turmoil, you have individuals who are, they are the heads of calling to deviation, they are ignorant, they do not guide the people, they are not scholars, they haven't taken from the scholars. They guide people astray, and they themselves are led astray. When people speak to them and people ask them things, they respond to the people with their opinion. They respond to the people with turmoil. They talk about politics. They have left alone Tawheed. They have left alone the Quran. They have abandoned the Sunnah. They have abandoned the Aqidah. So they are led astray, and they lead others astray. These are the callers to fitan. They are far away from the scholars. They are distant from the scholars. So they are upon deviation. And what is the opposite? If you have the scholars, you have the knowledge, you have the guidance, you have the taqwa, you have the istiqamah, you have the protection of the religion, and you have the protection of the worldly affairs. So this is the comparison of having the scholars and not having the scholars.
So indeed it is befitting for the Muslim, and it is befitting for the student of knowledge to know the path of salvation. And because of that, you have the statements of the Salaf, rahimahullah ta'ala, that they used to say, if you notice a young individual, when he starts, when he's being raised, he sticks to the people of Iman, he sticks to the people of knowledge, then you should hope good for him. And likewise, if you notice a young individual, when he's growing up, he sticks to the people of innovation, then there is no hope for, or you should not hope for good from this individual. With that being the case, it is important that we go, we surround ourselves, we surround the scholars, and we benefit from the scholars. And we should know with certainty by doing so, that this is the path of salvation. And this is the path of salvation in this life and the next life. And because of that, the Shaykh Habibullah Ta'ala ended by asking, by supplicating that we ask Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala that He protects us from the trials and the tribulations, that which is apparent and that which is hidden. And that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala makes us firm upon the Sunnah. And He closed by sending salams and peace upon our beloved Messenger Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and his family members and companions. The Shaykh agreed if there's questions, he will take some questions. No. يسأل الأخ ما نصيحتكم لمن قد يجد صعوبة في جلوس مع العلماء من أجل عمله وطلبه الكسب لأهله فما توجيهكم حفظكم الله تعالى
الله عز وجل يقول فاتقوا الله ما استطعت ويقول تعالى ما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه فالإنسان يتقي الله ويأخذ من توجيهات الشرع بما يستطيع وعمر رضي الله عنه كان هو وصاحب له من الأنصار يطلبون العلم عند الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم وكان يتناوبان المجيء إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فيكون في يوم أحدهما مع الإبل ويأتي صاحبه إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ليأخذ منه العلم وهكذا يتناوبان فالإنسان يحتاج إلى ما يحصل معيشته ومعيشة ولده ولكن بالذي يستطيع الإنسان أن يطلب العلم في إجازاته وله كذلك أن يستمع تسجيلات العلماء ويزور العلماء لا ينقطع عنهم بين فترة وأخرى بزيارة واستفتاء وهكذا الإنسان يتحصل العلم بما يستطيع ووسائل العلم اليوم كثيرة من مقروءة أو مكتوبة والاتصالات سهلت القرب للعلماء فيتخذ فما يستطيعه من وسائل تقربه إلى العلماء وتربطه بالعلم وبهم نعم
Individuals asking, how does an individual, or what's your advice for an individual who would like to sit with the scholars, but he finds it difficult because of his obligations toward his work and his family? The Shaykh mentioned, Habibullah Ta'ala, that Allah Azza wa Jalla says, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ Fear Allah to the best of your ability. So the individual should try to do that which he can. He should try to do that which he can and that which he's able to do. It took place that during the time of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Umar ibn Khattab and one of his friends from amongst the Ansar, they used to take turns benefiting from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When one of them would, or one day, one of them would sit with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the other would take care of the camels. So they would exchange days, and at night they would come together and share their notes. So this is that which an individual, there's no doubt, the Shaykh said, an individual must take care of his family. He must provide for his family, provide for his offspring, his children. So with that being the case, an individual should try to do that which he's able to do. For example, an individual, when there's a break, he can seek knowledge. Likewise, an individual should listen to the audios, the audio recordings of the ulama. Likewise, the individual should perform ziyarah, he should visit the ulama from time to time, occasionally. And he should ask the ulama. And the Shaykh said, Habibullah Ta'ala, there's no doubt because of technology, there's many ways that an individual can seek knowledge. That which is written, and that which is, that which you can read, and the likes. You can also call the ulama. So there's no doubt calling them and seeking advice from them and learning from them. This has made the affair much easier. So an individual should seek knowledge to the best of his ability. يقول سعد إذا كان هناك اختلاف بين العلماء في شيء من الأمور أو في أمر من الأمور فما توجيهكم وما هو السبيل النجاة من هذا الاختلاف؟
الاختلاف بين العلماء وارد، ولكن طالب العلم الذي يميز بين الأدلة ينظر الأدلة ويعمل بما يترجع عنده وبما يدين الله عز وجل به. وإذا ليس عنده آلات الترجيح واستطاعة علمية بأن يرجح بين الأدلة فيختار من العلماء من يثق بدينه ومنهجه واتباعه وتقواه فيتخذ قوله ويعمل بقوله. نعم.
The Shaykh, the individual is asking, if you have difference of opinion amongst the scholars, how should you deal with this? The Shaykh said, Habibullah Ta'ala, there's no doubt you have differences of opinion amongst the scholars. But there's two affairs. One, if the individual is a student of knowledge, and he has the ability to distinguish between the proofs, he can look into the proofs and see that which is strongest, then he would do so. But if the individual that comes across the disagreement or the difference of opinion amongst the scholar is not a student of knowledge and he does not have the ability to look into the proofs, then that which he does is he chooses the scholar who is stronger in his religion, who's stronger in his adherence, who's strongest in his taqwa. He would choose that scholar and he would follow the opinion of that scholar. يقول السؤال هل يجوز لمن عليه زكاة أن يعطي الزكاة لوالدته؟
لا يعطي المرء من زكاة ماله من يجب عليه نفقته وممن هو يرثه، وإنما يعطيها من لا يجب عليه نفقتهم أو هو يرثهم. نعم.
Individual is asking if a person, is it permissible for a person who has to pay zakat to give the zakat to their mother? And the Shaykh mentioned, Habibullah Ta'ala, it's not permissible to give the zakat to a person that you have to support. It's not permissible for you to give zakat to a person that is obligatory upon you to support, nor to a person who, if you were to die, the person would inherit from you. But that which you give your zakat to is a person who is not, you are not obliged to support. And likewise, the person who, if you were to die, they would not receive from your inheritance. The Shaykh Habibullah Ta'ala requested. Now the Shaykh is going to take just a few more questions because he's traveling, those individuals are with him. They're traveling back to Hafar al-Batin tonight, it's about 4 hours. So he's going to take just a few more questions. ما نصيحتكم لشخص يتبع العلماء في أمور الاعتقاد ولا يأخذ برأيهم فيما ينحون عنه من مثل شبكة الإنترنت أو فيسبوك أو تويتر، يعني لا يأخذ بتوجيهات العلماء في مثل هذه الأشياء،
يأخذ كل ما يتعلق بدينه، كل ما يتعلق بدينه يأخذ به. ورب العالمين ذكر ذلك في القرآن ولم يخصص أمر دون أمر، فاسألوا أهل الذكر إن كنتم لا تعلمون. وإذا جاءهم أمر من الأمن أو الخوف أذاعوا به ولو ردوه إلى الرسول وإلى أولي الأمر منهم لعلمه الذين يستنبطونه منهم. فيجب على الإنسان أن يتبع العلماء فيما يأمرون به مما يتعلق بدينه ودنياه، فيما فيه ضرر على دينه أو دنياه أو يترتب على ذلك مفاسد، سواء مفاسد على دينه هو أو مفاسد متعدية منه للآخرين، فلا يأخذ شيء ويترك شيء. نعم.
Individuals asking, what is your advice for the person who follows the scholars in affairs of aqidah, but he does not follow their advice in issues of internet or Twitter or Facebook or other dunyawi affairs? The Shaykh mentioned, Habibullah Ta'ala, you take from the scholars and everything which is related to your religion. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala mentioned the obligation of following the scholars in the Quran, and Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala did not make any exceptions. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala said, ask the people of knowledge if you do not know. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala said, if an affair of fear or safety comes to them, and that verse we mentioned in the lecture, they spread it, but if they were referred back to the messenger and those in authority from amongst them, they would know the result of that affair. So because of that, it is obligatory that you follow the scholars, and that which they inform you, that which they order you, in terms of your religion, in terms of your worldly affairs. Because there may be some harm present. There may be major harm present. And there's no doubt that that which they inform you might have some danger in your religion, or it might be something that spreads to others. So it is not permissible for you to take some and to leave some. هل يجوز للرجل أن يتكلم مع المخطوب على الهاتف بدون أن يسمعهما شخص ثالث؟
لا ينبغي هذا، لأن هذا خلاف ما تعارف الناس عليه، فلا يبدأ المرء بعلاقة مع زوجته التي عقد عليها حتى يدخل عليها، وهذا آمن لنفسه من الفتنة وأبعد عن الشبه وأحفظ لسمعته وعرضه. فينبغي أن يتجنب المسلم أن يكون مع زوجته التي عقد عليها علاقة، سواء مكالمة أو شيء من ذلك، لا نقول هذا حرام، ولكن أحوط لدينه أن يتجنب ذلك حتى يدخل على زوجته، وهذا الذي تعارف عليه المسلمون.
The Shaykh Habibullah Ta'ala was asked, is it permissible, or what's the ruling on an individual who is soon he's going to marry a female, to speak to her on the phone without another individual hearing their speech? And the Shaykh mentioned, Habibullah Ta'ala, this is not befitting that you do so. This is something that was not done by the Muslims presently. It's not something that was done. An individual should not start the relationship with a woman before he marries her, until after he marries her, until he is, you know, married to the female, he should not spark the relationship. This is safer for himself, and this is also safer for his dignity. That the individual does not do so. Because if it's possible, if he does so, people would begin to doubt him and his religion and the likes of that in terms of his taqwa. And the Shaykh said, so that which is befitting is that the individual does not speak to her on the phone or the likes. He said, I'm not going to say that it is totally forbidden, but that which I'm going to say, it is preferred and it is safer for your religion.
Correct me if I'm wrong, it seemed like he was talking about someone that he had already signed the contract with. Sounded like that.
I don't know if I've been المخطوبة وغير المخطوبة.
طبعا الغير مخطوبة هل أنا ظننت يقصد أن عقد عليها.
عقد عليها المخطوبة.
أما المخطوبة لا يجوز لأنها أجنبية.
غير المخطوبة.
الآن المرأة امرأة الذي يكون مع الرجل علاقة مثلا أو شيء من ذلك إما تكون أثناء الخطبة هذه امرأة أجنبية لا يجوز له حرام لا مكالم ولا غير مكالم. وأما من عقد عليها يعني عقد الرجل وأصبحت زوجته على كتاب الله وسنة نبيه فهذا هو الذي يكون عليه الجواب.
نعم. The Shaykh Habibullah Ta'ala, he mentioned some clarity, and that was if the man has not been married, if the marriage procedures have not been completed, then it's totally not permissible for him to speak to her. She's an ajnabiyah, she's a foreign female, if he has not been married to her yet. But if he's been married, meaning they've done the contract and he's married, but before they do the walima, then it's, yani, the Shaykh said, Habibullah Ta'ala, that's what I've answered. Meaning, it's disliked, it's not encouraged that you speak to her at that time, because it's against the traditions of the people. It's against the traditions of the people. So she's your wife, yani, let me bring some clarity. Here they have something where the man, he gets the contract, she becomes his wife.
Yeah.
But they don't see each other, or they don't join each other until the walima. They don't join each other until the walima. In between that time, from the culture, is that you don't speak to her. Except that you're in the presence of her family members. So the Shaykh said, before that time, if she's still not your wife, there's no contract between, you're just interested in her, it's totally not permissible for you to talk to her because she is considered a foreign female. ما نصيحتكم ما نصيحتكم لمن يأخذ العلم من بعض طلبة العلم الذين كانوا يأخذون العلم عن العلماء ثم تركوا العلماء وانحرفوا؟
لا يجوز. من أخذ عن العلماء وهو مستمر على نهج العلماء فهذا يؤخذ منه. ومن أخذ عن العلماء ثم ترك جادة العلماء وانحرف فلا يجوز الأخذ منه. لأن هؤلاء تحت مظلة البدعة. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حذر من أهل الأهواء والمحدثات، كما سمعتم حديث عائشة أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لما قرأ قوله هو الذي أنزل عليك الكتاب منه آيات ومحكمات الآيات، قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أولئك الذين سمى الله، إذا رأيتم الذين سمى الله فاحذروهم، فحذر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم منهم الذين يحرفون النصوص، الذين في قلوبهم زيغ فيتبعون ما تشابه منه ابتغاء الفتنة وابتغاء تأويل، فهؤلاء لا يؤمنون على الدين ولا يجوز الأخذ منهم. نعم.
Individuals asking, what is your advice taking from students of knowledge who studied with the scholars, but then they deviated from the path of the scholars? The Shaykh said, it's not permissible. It is not permissible to take from these individuals. Those, if you have individuals who take from the scholars, or took from the scholars, and they are continuous, and they are consistent upon the correct path of the scholars, you take from them. But if you have individuals who at one time took from the scholars and then they deviated from the path of the scholars, you don't want to take from these individuals because they fall under the umbrella of innovation. You've heard the hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned the verse to Aisha, and then he said to her, if you see these people that Allah has mentioned, then be aware of them. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned you. These are the individuals that they distort the verses, they distort the proofs. These are the individuals that have some deviation in their heart. Be aware of these individuals. You cannot trust them in the affair of your religion, so therefore it is not permissible for you to take from them. الذي يجوز الشخص أن يعطي زكاته لبلده الأصلي أو لا نقول أن يوزع زكاة في البلد التي هو يعيش فيها وهو يقيم فيها.
الأصل أن يخرج الإنسان زكاة ماله في البلد الذي يعيش فيه كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وأخبرهم أن الله افترض عليهم زكاة تؤخذ من أغنيائهم أغنياء البلد اللي هو يعيش فيه فترد إلى فقرائه. ولكن إن استغنى البلد الذي هو فيه لأن أهل البلد يعني شرعت الزكاة لأهل البلد الذي يعيش فيه لأن الفقراء يتطلعون إلى هذا الغني الذي يعيش بينهم وينتظرون زكاة ماله، فإذا أخرجها إلى غير أهل البلد فكأنهم حرموا ما تعلقت نفوسهم بتلك الزكاة.
The individual is asking, the individual is asking, if you have zakat, is it permissible for you to send it to your country that you're from, or should you distribute it in the country which you are residing in? The Shaykh said the origin is that you distribute it in the country that you are residing in, the country that you are a resident in. This came in the hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned the affair of zakat. And he said, it is taken from the poor, it is taken from the rich, and it is given to the poor. And from the rich of that country, and given to the poor of that country. And the only way it becomes allowed for you to give it to the poor of your origin, the country of your origin, is that the poor, or there are no individuals to accept it in the country that you're residing in. And the reason for that is, the country, if the country that you're residing in has poor people, those poor people are waiting for the zakat. If the country that you are a resident in has poor people, they're waiting for the zakat. How is it fair that the people who are rich or have the means in that country send the zakat abroad when the country that you're residing in have poor people who are in need? So because of that, it is the origin is that you send, that you give it to the poor in the country that you are residing in. لدي زميل في بريطانيا تفوته الصلوات كثيرة ويقول أن رزقي من عمل يدي، فما نصيحتكم لهذا الرجل؟
لا يجوز أن يتعمد الإنسان ترك الصلاة، فالله سبحانه وتعالى بدأ بالعبادة وتكفل الرزق بيده، فأوجب على العبد أن يؤدي ما أمر الله به ولا يجعل الدنيا مقدمة على الدين. يقول عز وجل وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون، ما أريد منهم الرزق وما أريد أن يطعمون، إن الله هو الرزاق ذو القوة المتين. والسلف من الصحابة خير من طبق هذا المسلك، فكانت إذا أتت الصلاة تركوا أعمالهم وقدموا الصلاة. فيجب على المسلم أن يقدم الصلاة، وإذا كان طلب الرزق يعادل الصلاة دائما ويجعل هذا الأمر يؤخر العمل، يقدمه ويؤخر الصلاة لأجله، فوقع في منكر، وقع في منكر عظيم. والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أمر بأن أفضل الأعمال الصلاة على وقتها، وتوعد الله الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون. وما يتوعد الله على شيء إلا أن هذا الأمر محرم وكبيرة من الكبائر، فلا يجوز للإنسان أن يؤخر الصلوات لأجل طلب الرزق، فأنت خلقت لطاعة الله فتكفل الله برزقك، بل إن من ثمار أداء الطاعة أن يفتح الله لك الخير والرزق، ومن كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وكما قال تعالى: ومن يتق الله يجعل له مخرجا ويرزقه من حيث لا يحتسب، وكما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من ترك شيئا لله عوضه الله خيرا. فلا يجوز للمسلم أن يؤخر الصلوات بحجة طلب الرزق والمعيشة. نعم.
Individual asking that he has a friend in the UK who leaves off many prayers, and the individual says his risk is from his hands, and he is very busy with working and the likes. The Sheikh said it's not permissible for an individual to purposely leave off the prayers. It's not permissible for the individual to purposely leave off the prayers. Verily, Allah Azza wa Jal has ordered the individual to worship Him, and Allah Subhanahu wa Taala has ordered you to do so, and to do the other things that He has ordered you to do so. An individual should not make the dunya at the forefront of his life. He should not place his work over his ibadah. As Allah Subhanahu wa Taala says, "وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ مَا أُرِيدُ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ رِزْقٍ وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ يُطْعِمُونَ." Verily, I have not created you except the jinn or mankind except to worship me. I do not want wealth from them, nor do I want them to feed me. Verily, Allah Azza wa Jal, He is the one who provides. He is the possessor of strength, of power. So here Allah is informing you that the purpose of your worship is ibadah. And the Salaf rahimahumullah ta'ala, they were the best to have tatbiq, they were the best to implement this manner. And that is that they place their ibadah before their work. They were the type of individuals who worked and provided for their families, but when the prayer or the time for prayer came, they would leave their work and they would hasten toward the ibadah of Allah Azza wa Jal. So it's not befitting that a Muslim, and it is not permissible that a Muslim places his work in front of the ibadah of Allah Azza wa Jal. And because of that, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he was asked to show you the great status, the tremendous status of Salat, the Prophet was asked, what is the best action? He said, As-salatu ala waqtiha. He said, the best action is that you perform Salat at its proper time. And likewise, Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned in the Quran, on Salatihim sahoon. Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned the individuals who are very negligent of their prayers. So this shows you, if you delay your prayers, this is considered from the major sins. So it is not permissible for an individual to delay his Salat and use it as justification that he's seeking wealth. Because verily the individual was created to worship Allah Azza wa Jal. And likewise, from the thimar of ta'a, from the fruits of obedience, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase you in wealth. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. To the end of the verse. Whoever fears Allah, Allah would make a way for him. وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَمْ يَحْتَسِبْ. And Allah would provide from him from directions. Allah Azza wa Jal would provide for him from directions that he never expected. And likewise, the statement of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam: "Man taraka shay'an lillahi awadahu Allahu khayran min." Whoever leaves something for the sake of Allah, Allah gives him that which is better. So it is not permissible for an individual to delay his salah for the purpose of seeking wealth. ما نصيحتكم لمن ليس لديه أو لم يدرس اللغة العربية فليريد أن يحضر دروس العلماء ولكن لا يفهمها؟
يتعلم في ليرنينغ عربي. تعلم العربي يجب عليك، لأن العلماء يقولون ما لا يتم الواجب إلا به فهو واجب. فإذا كان لا يستطيع أن يتعلم دينه إلا بالعربية وهو لا يفقهها، يجب عليه أن يتعلم. ما يجلس في مصر ليرنينغ عربي.
أحسن الله عليكم وبارك فيكم. The question is,
advice for an individual who wants to attend the lessons of the scholars, but he doesn't understand Arabic. The Sheikh said it's incumbent that he learns. It's incumbent that he learns. The scholars say that which the obligation is not completed with also becomes an obligation. So if the individual can only learn his religion by Arabic, and the materials that he needs to learn his religion are only present in Arabic, then it becomes obligatory for him to study the language and to learn it so that he can study his religion. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa nasallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen. Fi hasanatikum. Ameen. Zakum.